that was a fairly exhaustive debate and went on for 74 minutes. There were 22 different speakers, roughly 50-50 in terms of who spoke for and against. And at the end of all that, I would say that most of the majority of the speakers against came from Ulster. Just 51% vote in favour, but that wasn't sufficient to see the motion passed. It required 60%, so it got 85 votes. It needed 101, so 16 votes short, which is an 8-vote swing. It won't be coming in next year, but I think all the delegates that spoke, even those that were against the motion, virtually all of them, to a man or woman, were in favour of change. So I think this is the start of something rather than the end. I think there'll be a fresh motion, possibly for annual Congress in February, which will have a league format at the heart of it, I would think. But I think the critical thing is that it will have to be based on the soundings today, and even in the course of the whole debate over the past number of weeks, I think it will have to have some sort of link between provincial championships and the All-Ireland, because I think that was really the single biggest reason why the motion failed, that the provincial championships were standalone competitions in this proposal, and it was felt that they would lose prestige as a result if there was no tangible reward for winning it in terms of advancing your position in the All-Ireland Championship. So how they square that circle, I'm not too sure, but I think we'll come back. There will be another proposal on the table in the coming months, which will be broadly similar to what was voted on today, but with a few tweaks that may well see it over the line next time around.
It's funny that you mentioned the provincials being the kind of sticking point here, because I think something that I've kind of noticed is that, you know, the main criticism is that it makes the provincial championships lose their special status, really, if you don't then go on to progress to the latter stages of the All-Ireland Championships. I guess there's a bit of irony in that statement, really, that either the provincial championships are important in their own right and that it's great to win a Leinster title or an Ulster title, or it's just the stepway to get into the next stages of the All-Ireland. You know, I don't see the real difference between, you know, winning an Ulster championship in January or in February, let's say. Is that not good enough for a lot of teams to decide that actually that is worth it?
It may well be enough for teams, but and players, but teams and players weren't voting on the Congress floor. Their representative delegates were. In fairness, Niall Morgan, the Tyrone goalkeeper, I put that question to myself a few weeks ago, and he said that, you know, he was stressing you're still getting the Anglo-Sel Cup. You know, you still get the same medal that he's got for winning the three Ulster championships that he's already got. So maybe it's not such an issue for players, but it clearly is for administrators. And a number of speakers today said that it would reduce to a glorified McKenna Cup if the competition takes place in February, March as your kind of season starter. That was a big issue. So that was the feeling at administrative level. I suspect if you had all the players in the Ulster Championship voting on this today, it would have been different, but that's not the way GAA politics works.
No, unfortunately not. No, the GPA also coming out, and Tom Parsons, I thought, spoke well on his reasons for backing Proposal B today. Another one of the sticking points came from the likes of Galway and from Mayo and counties like that, where they were worried about this idea that the sixth place team in Division 1 wouldn't then go on to the All-Ireland Series. Do you think that had much sway in the room outside of those counties in Division 1?
Yeah, I think that was referenced numerous times by various speakers against the motion, and even speakers in favour of it would have acknowledged that, but said it's a flaw, but it's a flaw that we're prepared to live with for the greater good. Kevin O'Donovan of Cork referenced how in the Munster and Leinster Hurling Championships, the team that finishes fourth in the round robin system, that how they don't progress to the next phase of the championship, but the Joe McDonagh winners do. And he said there's been no great complaints about that, and it was a very fair example to make or comparison to draw. So again, I think that's another thing that will be addressed in whatever overhaul or redrafting of this motion that we see, be that next February's Congress or perhaps even a special Congress this time next year. That and the provincial championships being linked to the All-Ireland race are probably the two biggest issues that need to be tackled with this motion. Personally, my own preference would be, I don't think a Division 1, 2, 3 and 4 structure serves weaker counties in terms of getting up to a higher standard, because they're just shut off and playing the better opposition, and I think the stronger teams then get to play each other relentlessly in Division 1, as we've seen over the past 10 or 15 years, and drive each other to new standards. So if there is a fresh take on this motion. I would like to see it as a 16-team Division 1 with two conferences of eight and a 16-team Division 2 with two conferences of eight, as would have been the case in the National League up to 2007. That would help to even out standards, and it would also square the circle of having a drip-down qualification system for teams from Division 1, 2, 3 and 4. So personally, that's the way I think they should go. I know that others would be of a similar view. We'll just have to wait and see what they come back with when they try and get this when the various stakeholders try and get this redrafted over the next couple of months. There'll obviously have to be effectively a new committee appointed to oversee this.
It's certainly another way of going about it, all right, and I think that's what players want, is more competitive games against teams, you know, relatively of their own level, but, you know, a chance to fight out against bigger teams as well and see if they can reach that next level as well. So it's certainly a way to go. It has to be said that a 60% change for a format isn't really insurmountable. Yes, it's more than a simple majority, but, you know, at least half of those voting today weren't happy to go forward with the change. So do you think that there is a case to be put forward, though, that the likes of the overseas votes maybe have too much weight in a vote like this, because, you know, it is the, let's call them the mainland counties, they're the ones that are actually going to be affected?
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, there were four motions withdrawn today, and at least one of them referred to that very thing that you're talking about, that the overseas delegation should be reduced at Congress. Now, it was withdrawn because the overseas delegation, some of them couldn't be here today. There were 18 delegates who were voting via Zoom today, so it was felt that that particular motion should be discussed while they're in the room, and it can be more robust from their perspective. So I think that's coming anyway, even though it didn't get voted on today. I think probably in February's Congress you'll have something on that will see that reduced. And yes, you're absolutely right. It is inappropriate, in my opinion, that overseas holds such a big sway when, apart from New York and London, and I suppose you'd have the likes of Warwickshire taking part in the lower tier hurling competitions, but that apart, these units don't have much of an influence in terms of what happens on the field of play at intercounty level. So I don't think they should have such a significant say in how the competitions are structured.
So B is over for now. We are going back to somewhat of a status quo. There will be a couple of changes. The Super 8s are gone, and for the likes of County Wexford here, we'll be going into a Charlton Cup if things don't go our way. So just explain to us how the Charlton Cup will work, or were there any clarifications on how the actual structure will work this year?
There weren't many clarifications given today, but I suppose there was a system in place prior to the pandemic hitting in March of last year, which I presume will be broadly adhered to for the 2022 championship. So, like, traditionally the qualifiers will have four rounds. So we'll still have the provincial championships as always on a knockout basis, the provincials, and then teams who don't win the provincials will go into the qualifiers. Or if you're from Division 3 or 4, instead of going into the qualifiers, you'll go into the Talton Cup. So as a result of that, there will only be two rounds of qualifiers instead of four, because there's obviously you're putting the amount of teams in it in half. So you'll have 16 teams in the Talton Cup, then Division 3 and 4 teams, unless one of them gets to the provincial final, which wouldn't be out of the question when you consider, like, you know, Cavan and Tipperary are in Division 4 and have been in provincial finals recently. So you could have that, which will, you might have an extra preliminary round in the qualifiers or something like that, but all things being equal, you'll have 16 teams in the qualifiers. Or sorry, not 16, but you'll have the four out of the 32 teams. You'll have four provincial winners, so you'll have 28, and you'll have eight teams get the provincial finals. Out of 24 left, you'll have half of them going into the qualifiers and half of them going to the Talton Cup, depending on who does or doesn't get the provincial finals from Division 3 and 4.
Sure, it's still a little bit up in the air, but as clear as we can get it at the minute anyway. But listen, Pat, you've been brilliant with your time there. And just one final question. You have mentioned that there is another Congress in February. So do you think that the naysayers will be more inclined to come round to a B proposal that is changed slightly, or will there be enough time to change B before we get to February?
That's the big question out of today, in that Larry McCarthy, the GAA president, did cast doubt on whether it would be possible to get a motion in place in time for Congress in February, because it's not just a matter of, you know, Congress will probably be the third week of February. It's not just a matter of getting it ready on the third week of February. It'll have to go through the motions, so to speak, to be to be cleared for Congress maybe 3 or 4 weeks before that, if not more. So he expressed doubts about that. Tom Parsons, the GPS chief executive, was quite insistent that if we have to go Friday, Saturday, Sunday and burn the midnight oil, as he said, to get a motion ready, and then that's what should be done. I don't think there's a huge amount of ground that needs to be covered in order to get the core of this motion over the line. As I said, it got 51% today. It was 16 votes short of what was needed. So that's just an 8-vote swing. We need 8 people that were there today to change their mind, albeit full Congress does have a greater delegation than the 168 that were there today. But it's only a 4.5% swing. So that's not insurmountable. And I think the momentum behind change is probably unstoppable at this stage. It's just a matter of, can they get the motion right? And I think they probably will. I think whether it's in an annual Congress in February or perhaps a special Congress this time next year, I think there will be a fairly radically different championship in 2023.